Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is taken from Colossians. But before I read that again, I want to remind you of what Jesus did. He promised he was going to come and live in the place of all people and die in the place of all people and come back to life again. His disciples didn't get that. They were scared out of their minds. They were sad. They were afraid. He spent 40 days, over a month, appearing to them again and again and again, telling them, I'm alive, and doing miracles to make sure that they understood that it was really him. Then he ascended to heaven. While he ascends to heaven, the scriptures tell us people did not even believe what they were seeing. Stubbornness, unbelief is really, really strong in us. So the Lord takes this little handful of people, and on Pentecost, they finally get to go out and do what he commanded. He said, go. Go to the whole world. Tell everybody that their sins are forgiven. If you don't tell them, they're not going to be told. So their sins are not going to be forgiven. Tell them. So they went out. The Lord knew that the world was incredibly evil and wicked and twisted and dark. That's why he had come to rescue people. Part of this Colossians letter is written to people who are Christians, and they're living in a place where there's a lot of weird stuff going on. I mean, weird. I mean, people worshiping dogs and cats, and people worshiping crystals, people chanting and going around in cool white robes, I think, but, you know, people shaving their heads. Worshiping gods like Zeus, if you want power. If you want to be as strong as Ron Fregane and Bruce Moans, you can be, yeah, yeah. They have goddess Aphrodite and Venus for all you pretty ones out there. You just pick your god and you worship that god. And whatever you think, that's what it was. And Rome was really big into saying, don't you dare say that you have the only god. Well, here comes Jesus and he says, there is no other god. I am the Lord your God. He told that to Satan. He's telling it to us today. Jesus knew that he was sending his disciples into a place that's going to be taking care of all those things, and all those temptations are going to be around them all the time. There's all sorts of sexual immorality out there. You think pornography is bad now. You should have lived at the time of Rome and Greece. It was all brazen and out there. Guess what? God, in his mercy, sent the word out. He sent it to Christians. And this is what he said. But when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving us all our trespasses. God erased the record of our debt brought against us by his legal demands. This record stood against us, but he took it away by nailing it to the cross. After disarming the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them by triumphing over them in Christ. And when you were... Sorry. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, or in regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were coming, but the body belongs to Christ. Now, please, watch this.
And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from death. You were dead because you were sinful and were not God's people. But God let Christ make you alive when he forgave all our sins. God. God wiped out the charges that were against us for disobeying the law of Moses. He took them away and nailed them to the cross. There Christ defeated all powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory. Don't let anyone tell you what you must eat or drink. Don't let them say that you must celebrate the New Moon Festival, the Sabbath, or any other festival. These things are only a shadow of what was to come. But Christ is real.
That's where it starts off. What I want to share with you today is not about the New Age movement. It's not about joining a cult. It's about doing the things that make those cults and such wicked. The Lord says we have a very strong tendency in us, it's our human sinful nature, to disobey him and to come up with our own rules for our getting into heaven, to make ourselves look good. It's like this. When I was younger, I used to think that it's just all those crazy people out there with the white robes and the shaved heads and the chanting and the flowers. Those are the crazy people. Stay away from them and you'll be okay. Those are the cult people. They don't believe what the Bible says. But that same kind of thing can actually happen right here in church, right among Christians. For instance, when I was at the Northwestern, I was studying to become a pastor, right? And I was studying to become a pastor. Of course, I was a teenager, so I'm really acutely aware that I love to rebel against everybody. And my mom and dad reminded me before I went, remember the fourth commandment. Don't disobey the rules. Okay, Mom. Okay, Dad. I did that as best I could, as any teenager will tell you. We don't do that very well. Well, I ran into someone there who was a professor. And he came up to me once and he said, you know, I see you're wearing blue jeans. Yeah? You shouldn't be wearing blue jeans. Why not? Or you're studying to become a pastor. Yeah? You shouldn't be wearing blue jeans. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, you shouldn't be wearing them. They're not sewed together. They have brass tacks on the side. So I said, a question which I thought was a normal question because in our family, that's what you did. I said, where in the Bible does it say that? I got to find this out. And he looked at me and he shook his head and he walked away. And that's the first clue I had that sometimes us grown-ups make rules that sound good to us, but not what God said. For instance, we have to ask ourselves why. As a grown-up, you have to ask yourself why. You can teach young children, but as a grown-up, you have to examine yourself. So why? Why did you come here today? Why did you get dressed up in special clothes if you got dressed up in special clothes? Why? Why did you get up early on Sunday morning? It's supposed to rain all day today anyway. Why? You want to see some friends? Yeah? Maybe you have some good treats later on? Yeah? Maybe come for that exciting Bible class in Ezra? Yeah, maybe. Why? We have to ask ourselves why. For instance, why do you come in? Why do you sit in the pew? Why is there an altar up front? When you're singing the hymns, do you mouth the words? Or do you read the prayers and the praises that are set to music so you can bring your heart right to God? When you're praying the Lord's Prayer, do you mouth the Lord's Prayer and look around and say, well, is everyone seeing me mouth this prayer? I remember one time my pastor, Pastor Allswade, was preaching on the Lord's Prayer, and he mentioned that in the Lord's Prayer, and then in the Lord's Prayer, he just stopped. And all of a sudden, I realized I had not been paying attention. I had just been going through the motions. That's what he's talking about here. As if going through the motions can make God happy. Do we really think that God is going to be bluffed by that? The maker of the universe, who creates our minds, our neural networks that computers are trying to emulate, that can't quite get it yet. Do we really think that we can fake God out by putting on nice clothes in the morning and speaking nicely on a Sunday morning and then trashing God the rest of the week with dirty mouths? Do we really think that? If so, we are highly mistaken. The Lord tells us that we are gathered here by Him to give Him worship, to give Him honor and glory. And why is that? He says, because I have made you alive. You were dead, and now you're alive. And all the things are used to help you focus on my Lord Jesus Christ, all those things are just pictures to help you focus. So you wear the good clothes because you're coming into the presence of the King. You don't go like a slob before the King. You don't even go like a slob. You go do a job interview. You get dressed up. You talk nice. You are coming into the presence of a King who loves you, who happens to be your Father. How awesome is that? He says all those things that help you focus on Him, all those Old Testament things, are just shadows of the thing that were to come. And that's why I wanted to show you my phone. Some of you know this already. If not, now you'll know. My family from Texas is visiting today. My grandson, I showed you some pictures on the phone already. He's here, right? Just so you know, this little thing in my hand, in case you're watching online, is called a cell phone. It's actually a computer. It's connected to the World Wide Web. I can access any library, anywhere, any time of day or night. It's so cool. It also does other things. It has a cell. It actually does use it as a cell phone. And it has a really neat feature called FaceTime or Skype, where you push this in, and I can talk to my family in Texas right there. How cool is that? So I could call up Dawn from Texas, and I could FaceTime her as well. How neat is that? But what if I were to call up my grandson, who's sitting in the back? What if I were to call him up, and I would say, well, hi there. He'd say, well, hi back. And then go to my home around my dining room table this afternoon. And there's Isaac, and there's Katie, and there's Donna, my wife. And so what happens? You're going to call up the cell phone. Hey, Isaac, talk to me. And Isaac would say, I'm right here. And I'd say, well, I'm talking to you on cell phone, on FaceTime. And he would say, I'm right here. This would be absolutely silly. Eventually they would say, President L. Shepherd, would you please come and help us get Papa T to a doctor because we think his mind is going. He's talking to his FaceTime and we're right there. That's what the Lord says. Common sense will even tell you. You use the things around you to get connected, but when the real person is there, you don't use the things anymore. So you don't have to worship God with a shirt and a tie on. You don't have to worship God with nice shoes. You worship God, why? Because He is worth it. Not because these things help you get into His presence. Because He's brought you into His presence. And the people who are all caught up in the rules and the rule making, you know what? They miss out. They miss out on so much. Do you realize that God moved heaven and earth to get you here today? Your heart is still working. Your mind is still working. The car you drove in is still working. The gasoline was provided for you at the pumps. The roads are provided for you. God has seen to it all that stuff to make sure you could come here and worship today. He gathered you. Our Father draws us to the Son. That's what the scriptures say. And who is here today? Jesus is here today. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's back there sitting by Ron or Elmer. Maybe he's over there by Mike. Maybe he's behind me looking at you. I don't know where he is. I just know that he is here. And you know who else is here? The Holy Spirit is here. He's living inside of each one of us. The living God is living inside of each one of us who he calls living temples of his. What an awesome place this is. This is not a boring thing at all. This is the most exciting place right now in the universe because God has chosen to bless us with his word. And he says, so based on all of that, don't let anyone steal that away from you. Don't even let yourself be deceived. Jesus is real. He's not a pretend voodoo God. He's not a nice idea that people should have. Jesus really did exist. He really did live in our place. He really did suffer. He really did die because of our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He is the only one in history who brought himself back to life again. Think about that. Someday I'm going to be up in a box up here at my funeral. No matter what I tell you, I'm not going to be able to raise myself back to life again. Jesus raised himself back to life, came out of a tomb, so that you and I will know for certain that he is alive. All of our sins are gone. Oh, he is worth the worship. My dear friends, when God has gathered us together, let us encourage each other, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the last day when he's going to come for us. He doesn't forget us. This is his day. He says he is the Lord of this day, the day in which he gives us his rest. In his name, let us listen to him. You know what he says? I know your life. I know it's hard. I know what you've been through this past week. I need you to come with me. Come with me to my Father's house. I want you to come. Come to me and hear my word. I made sure you have my word, my living word. You need to hear that I forgave you all of your sins. I didn't miss a single one. Doesn't matter how often you've done them. I have forgiven you. And my Holy Spirit will use my word to strengthen you to live for me. So come. Come to me and find some rest for yourself. My gift to you is peace. That's the word I said on Easter. I still say it today. Peace. In his name, so let us live. Amen.